Week's Parsha, we have many, many interesting things that are going on, but one of the tragic stories in our Parsha is the destruction of Sodom and Amorah and the neighboring communities. One very striking aspect of that story is the way we are introduced to the destruction before it happens. So we're told HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and he says, HaMachaseh Ani Mahavram Asher Ani Oseh, can I hide from Avram Avinu what I am about to do? Which is a very surprising comment. You can do whatever you want. Who said you have to tell Avram Avinu? Why do you need his input? Why do you need his advice? You are the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, so what kind of question is this? And this is something that really bothers the Medrash. So the Medrash writes in our Parsha, Lama Gila HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAvram? Why was it necessary for God to come to Avram Avinu in advance of the destruction and make sure to inform him that Sodom and Amorah and the neighboring towns are about to be destroyed? What did it have to do with Avram? God could do whatever he wants. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, Masha L'maha Davar Domeh. He says this is comparable. L'melech Shahayelo Pardes. So you have a king who has hundreds of acres of land, and he decides to give this big portion of land over. V'nasna L'avo B'matana. He decides to give it to a very dear friend of his, a loyal subject of his. He decides he's so much infatuated with this friend of his, he's going to give him this very gracious gift. La'achar yamim, after a couple of days, the king didn't think this through so carefully, so he gives him this big property of land, and the king says, what am I going to do with it anyway? I may as well give it to him. But after a couple of days, nitzrach hamelech lakutz mitoch hakurus. The king realizes, we need some of that forest, we need some of that land to chop down the trees, because we have things that we're trying to build, and we didn't put enough wood aside in order to build the buildings that we want to build. Amar hamelech, so the king says, Afal pi shahaya shali, even though, yes, it's true, technically, all of this did belong to me just a couple of days ago. And I, v'nasativ lo'avai, and I very graciously decided on my own to give it to my friend. Still, it's not derech eretz, it's not nice to just go and chop down the trees after I officially gave it to him. Lo ekutz osam ad she'emalech be'ohavi. I'm first going to let him know, and I'm going to ask him, look, I gave you hundreds of acres of land, I just realized that we forgot to chop down some trees before we gave it away. Would you mind if I went ahead and cut down from this section? Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too is what happened in our parsha, says the Medrash. Kivin she'aleihu le'eretz Yisrael. God brings Avraham Avinu up to Eretz Yisrael, and he says, L'cha etinenu ulezarecha. All this land that you see here, hundreds of acres of land, this beautiful property, this is all going to be in your possession. This is going to belong to you and your children. Now, kisheretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'achriv, now God comes along and he says, oh yeah, I forgot all about it. I have a couple of cities here that are totally terrible and they need to be destroyed and we need to eradicate them. So he has to some way consult with Avraham Avinu, even though he didn't have to, because the land really belonged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But the Medrash says, Amar, he says, Eini machriv an elami daito shel Avram. I'm only going to allow myself to destroy them if I first consult with Avram Avinu, if I allow him to have some input. And the Fichach says the Medrash, therefore, l'achriva nachshenimlach ba'Avram. Therefore, God didn't go ahead with the plan until he discussed all the details with Avram Avinu, and that's what the Pasuk means, hamachasa ani me'Avraham. Now, along these same lines, the Gemara teaches us in Sanhedrin as well, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu osa davar. Whenever the Ribbono Shel Olam does seemingly anything in this world, he only does it alam kein nimlach Bipalmalya Shalmaila. He only does it. The Gemara there quotes a pasuk in Sefer Daniel, an Aramaic pasuk, that teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only does things in this world after he consults with the Malachim, with his Bezdin, whatever that means. Why does he need a Bezdin? He can do things on his own. But still, the Gemara tells us the Ribbono Shel Olam does it. So already earlier in Chumash, we have two such concepts. We find already we're in Parshas Vayera, but in two Parshas before, we already have the similar kind of story. Number one is by Migdal Bavel, when you have a terrible situation going on there, and everyone's deciding to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hava Nivdalanu Ir, and we're going to build a city, and we're going to revolt against the Ribbono Shel Olam. So God decides, it's time for me to come down and pay back retribution against these people. It's time for me to destroy them. So the Pasuk says, Hava Nerda V'Nivla Sham Sefasam. So how are we going to destroy them? Hava, let us, God says, let us go down together, and let us mix everybody up, and this way they won't be able to communicate with each other. Says Rashi, what do you mean, Hava Nerda? We will go together? Who's going to go? The Ribbono Shel Olam wants to destroy it, or wipe it off the face of the map. Says Rashi, no. Bebeis Dino Nimlach, God decided to take counsel with all those Malachim who were in his Bezdin, and only after he asked them about whether or not this was a good idea, he went ahead and carried through with the plan. Says Rashi, why did God do that? Why was it necessary? So Rashi there says, Me'an Misanuso Hayisera. Because of the incredible humility that exudes the presence of God. That's what he's all about. And therefore, even though you are the Melech Malchei Amlachim, and even though you can do whatever you want in the way you run the world, but the way the Ribbono Shel Olam does everything is, he always makes sure to consult with others, to show his humility, to show that this is the way to act. Not only that, in Parshas Bereishis, we have the story when Adam HaRishon is created, and it's not clear that Adam HaRishon should be created, and God seemingly once again consults, and he says, Nase Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu. He suggests to the other Malachim, let us create a being that is going to be in your kind of image, that is going to look like you, Malachim. Says Rashi there on the Pasuk, what does it mean, Nasa Adam? We will make a man? You will make a man. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to do it himself. Says Rashi, Nasa Adam an b'sanusa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lam demikan. We learn here the incredible humility of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lefi she'Adam b'nimus ha-malachim. Since a human being is created in some way in the image of a malach, v'iskanubo, and the malachim are going to have some sort of jealousy. Why don't we have the opportunity to live on this world? Why don't we have the chance to do whatever it is that the Jewish people or that human race has the ability to do? Lefikach, therefore, nimlach bahem, therefore God goes ahead and he discusses the idea with the malachim. Not only that, the Gemara says that this can lead a person to apikursas. This can lead a person to believe that God is not the Yachidu Meyucha, that God is not on his own. So Rashi quotes there on Chumash that maybe we should be concerned. Let's leave out this terminology. I understand you want to be nice and have derech eretz and talk to the malachim and ask them a question, even though you can do it on your own. But look what can happen. Someone can read the pasuk and say, oh, you see, Nasa Adam, it seems there are more than one God. It seems there's more than one power. And the God that we know of had to consult with the others in order to make sure that it was going to go through. So aren't you concerned, Shema Yitu Bahaminim? Maybe we're leaving room for people to make a tremendous mistake and to deny the existence of the Yachid and Meyuchad of God himself. Says Rashi, doesn't make a difference. Limda Torah Derech Eretz, the Torah is trying to teach you, this is the way a person is supposed to act in life. You consult with others even though you think you know better, even though you think you're smarter than them, even though you have greater insight than them. Our obligation is, whenever we deal with other people, is to make sure that we consult with others. Much later on in Chumash, we have in Parsha Shemini, the very unfortunate story of Bnei Aaron. Nadav and Avihu did something wrong, not really clear what exactly the mistake was, what the aver was, obviously on their level. But the pasuk says, "Vayikhu ish machtaso." Each one of them took his pan. "Bahakriva meizar lefnei Hashem." They did something wrong that they weren't supposed to do, something inappropriate. So the Rashi says there, the Medrash comments, "Ish me'atzmo yatzau." Each one of them, Nadav and Avihu, decided on their own, this is what we're going to do. V'lo nutlu eitza zemizeh. And they did not consult with each other. What do you mean? You have Moshe and Aaron here. What are you doing? You're standing in front of Moshe and Aaron. You're standing in front of the Beis HaMikdash. There are great people around. And you're doing whatever you want. So Rashi says that was their mistake. And because of their hubris, because of their arrogance, because they acted with such a level of assuredness, that's why they were punished. Once again, that's what we find the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to teach us in this week's Parsha. That it is always wise for a person to live life, even if you have made up your mind, even if you decided this is what makes sense, discuss it with other people. Make sure you have another opinion. Make sure you have somebody who, even if they're not as wise, as sophisticated as you might be, but maybe they'll have an idea, maybe they'll have an insight, and maybe your plan will change a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
And now you come to this parsha, and here he's told this whole story by Tomor.
And he starts petitioning.
What is it trying to show? Trying to show a Jew, you have to accept what Hashem gives you. For a guy, a tzaddik goes out and tries to help even a guy.
Good shot.
He shows it.
That's a good shot. Okay. So this idea, the Gemara extends now and says, I like that shot. But this idea that Gemara says doesn't only apply with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's very nice. You have Midrashim, let's say, that God consults with others. What about human beings? So the Gemara says you have a melech. A melech is all-powerful. A melech is in charge of the country, in charge of the people. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the only way that a melech is allowed to declare war is if he's notel reshus from the Bezdin. Only if he takes permission, only if he gets the counsel, the advice of the Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim, Shivim V'Yechad, without their consent, he doesn't have a right to bring the community out to war. And the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that that's what happened with David HaMelech. He went ahead and he consulted with the Sanhedrin and the Urim V'Tumim and the Kohen Gadol and the general, and then he went out to war. What do you mean? I'm the Melech. I can do what I want. The answer is yes, you can do what you want. But there's a protocol. There's a way we do things. There's Derech Eretz. There's a way of life. And that is something that is extremely important. In fact, the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis that we have a story in Sefer Melachim. It's repeated once again in Sefer Divrei HaYamim that there was a Melech Yoshiyahu who decided to go out to war to battle against Paro Necho. And it's a terrible story that the Navi tells us there. And Yoshio ends up losing his life. And why is that, says the Gemara? Why did Yoshio lose his life? What did he do wrong, says the Gemara? Because he lived in a generation where they had a Navi by the name of Yirmiyahu. And he chose to ignore him. You go out to war, you bring the Jewish people into danger just because you're the king. You didn't consult with the Navi, you didn't ask him. How do you not do such a thing? And therefore the Navi says that he lost his life and his life was taken away. And at the end the Gemara tells us that Yirmiyahu passes by the grave of Yoshio and he hears Sifsosov Dovavos, he hears him speaking and he says, Tzadik Hashem Pipiu Marisi. God is righteous because I didn't use my mouth correctly, writes the Maharsha. What that means is that I didn't consult. I had a mouth. I was supposed to go speak it over with somebody else. I put the entire Jewish people into jeopardy, into danger by going out to war, and I didn't consult with the Navi that lived in my own backyard, in my own generation, and therefore his life was taken away. So the Gemara tells us in many, many different places that we have this idea that is extended to many, many different areas of life. So the Gemara says it applies also when you have a communal leader who is about to be placed into a position. So the Gemara says by Bezalel that the Ribbono Shel Olam decided Bezalel was the right person for the job to build a Mishkan. But he would not put Bezalel up for the job until he took counsel with Moshe Rabbeinu and until Moshe Rabbeinu had the consent of the Jewish people. Because how can you throw a leader upon me? We should have a democratic vote. We should have an election and decide this is who we want to lead us. You know, someone once asked me, somebody who became a Baal Tshuva asked me, how does somebody become the Gadol Ador? Like, who elected them? It's a great question. I never thought about it because I take it for granted. How does somebody become the Gadol Ador? So what's the answer? You don't get elected. The people decide that you are worthy of having that title because that's the way any leader comes to power. You need to have, that's the way a good leader is supposed to come to power. Like the Gemara says, what? So it's a question. What about some leaders along the way? But the Gemara says clearly that whenever you have a parnes hamemuna al hatzibur, whenever you have somebody who is elected to a position of leadership, you need to first take counsel with the people that they are going to lead because it's important that you have the buy-in. So Rashi says in Sanhedrin that therefore when you elect a Kohen Gadol, you have to make sure that you take counsel with the other Kohanim. Are you comfortable with this person? Is this person really the one who should lead you? And the Achronim Lechsam Sofer talks about when you appoint a rabbi to a community. You can't just put the rabbi into the position and assume everyone's going to listen to them. The job is that you have to make sure the followers are going to have respect for the person in that position, and if you don't have their consent before, for the rabbi, for the chazan, for the gabbai, for every other position, the Achronim say that is not really considered to be a real position of leadership. One of the most important applications of this Rashi in our Parsha is how the principle comes up to Rabbanim. So one of the most important and primary roles of a rabbi today, and always was and should be, is that he has to avail himself to the questions that face the community. So the Gemara tells us, a rabbi thinks he's very educated. He went to yeshiva, he went to school, he's studying for many, many years, and now questions come his way, and he wants to answer those questions. So what is the proper way to answer the question? Says the Gemara. Ra acha ra'a tova. What does it mean in the pasuk when it says, one evil thing is going to lead to another evil thing, and that bad thing is going to lead to another one? What is that referring to? Says the Gemara. Bedaina de asi dina lekame. We're talking about a rabbi who is presented with a question. V'gamar hilchasa, and the rabbi is a great Talmud Chacham, and he's very learned and very well educated, very sophisticated. However, medami milsa lemilsa. He says, I remember there was a story like this. I once had a shaila like that, and therefore you put one thing together with the other thing. V'isle rabba v'lo azel mashu. He has a teacher who's greater than him, who lives in the vicinity, who's easily accessible, and you don't discuss it with him. So you decide, because you're so well-educated, I'm going to come up with the answer. I'm going to figure out how to solve this issue. Somebody's presenting me with a difficult question. I have a right to paskin on my own. Says the Gemara, what kind of way is that to act? If we see Rashi and Chumash writes in so many places that God himself takes counsel with those who are, it's hard to even say, less than him. Obviously, everybody's less than the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if the Ribbono Shel Olam takes out time to show Derech Eretz to go and ask to consult with somebody who's lower than him, then certainly a rabbi, says the Gemara, has that obligation to consult with those who are greater than him. And that's a problem today. That's a problem that we face with our generation when it's so easy to access information. So you have a rabbi who's presented with a question. He Googles a little bit. He finds some mekora, some sources for any question that comes up. And you sound like this great big Talmud Chacham. Meanwhile, you don't really know anything. And you didn't really ask anybody who might be greater than you about the severity of the question that you're being confronted with. So many of the questions that we deal with today are so complicated and are so much more complex and so much more intricate than the questions of previous generations. And it's not easy for a person to just be able to stand up and say, This is the answer, certainly when we have people in our generation who have the ability to understand the complexity and to take it apart and to explain to those who are younger and less experienced about how exactly they should understand how to deal with that question. But it goes even further. The Achronim write, the Shavus Yaakov and other Achronim write in their Svarim that this applies not only to areas of life where we have the ability to ask somebody who's greater, but they say nowadays when we have such a proliferation of Svarim, nowadays when Svarim are so accessible, when a person has the ability to look things up, they write that it would be gas libo b'horo, it would be insensitive for a person, it would be silly of a person to just answer a shayla without being responsible enough to look back into the source. So somebody calls you on the phone, or somebody texts nowadays, most of the shaylas come in text or emails. So there is no obligation to respond immediately when you get the question. Be responsible, write the Achronim, and at least look up in the source and make sure what you're quoting, what you're answering to the person is correct. How can you not even do the due diligence and just look up briefly what it is that you're looking for, let alone the more complex questions that you should be posing to those who are much greater than you? But this is something that is a very important hashkafa, a very important limud of Derech Eretz that Rashi teaches in our parsha. Whenever we are faced with an important decision that needs to be made, Hamechasa Anima Avram, the Ribono Shel Olam himself says, I'm going to take counsel with Avram Avinu. Really? You're going to take counsel with Avram Avinu about a decision as catastrophic as this, as important as this? What does that have to do with Avram Avinu? You're the Ribono Shel Olam. The answer is, Limda Torah Derech Eretz. The Torah teaches us this is the way one should act. And that applies, as we mentioned, to so many other aspects, so many other areas of life, that whenever a person is faced with something that is important, that is going to have consequences, that is going to have significance in anyone's life, it's something that is only responsible to make sure you take counsel with somebody else, either who is more experienced, who is more knowledgeable, or perhaps sometimes even less knowledgeable, but just to bounce the idea of somebody else and to understand that there's complexity to questions that come up, and we need to make sure that we do our best to be responsible in the way that we respond and we react to the questions that we are faced with.